First, I want to announce that this is the last message in Romans. Are you disappointed? Are you happy? Or what? Yeah, it's been a long journey for me, and I'm hoping that you can honestly say that I know about Romans. I know what it means. I know what he's trying to say. And so he's going to finish up this morning. This is like the third ending. I don't know if you, with kids, and you wrote the notes, and you'd write your note, and then you'd put a P.S. at the bottom of it, and then you'd go, oh, I got something else to say. So instead of rewriting it, you just put P.S. This is the final P.S., final postscript to the message, to the book of Romans. And God being that strengthens the believer. And I want you to remember something. Almost every book of the New Testament was written to believers. Okay? As a matter of fact, I can't think of a one that wasn't. It was written to believers. And the reason why it was written to believers, if they were believers, then what was the point? The point was to strengthen them. And as I look around the room today, I see a lot of believers. So it's not my goal, Paul's goal was not to make the believers any more believers, to save them again, but it was to strengthen them in their lives and in their faith. In your Bible, it may say established. And the word established means to strengthen, means to secure, to make stable, to set fast, and to make firm. And the one thing men long for is to be secure, strong, and firmly established in life. There are some definites in life, things that you can count on. And that's what he wanted for the Roman church. He wanted them to know that there were some firm, established things that they could count on in their lives. God is able to establish, strengthen man to give him a strong Christian, God-fearing life. You don't have to float around all the time wondering from day to day about what life is going to be like for you, because you have God. And he's able to strengthen your life, to establish you. In verse 25, we'll be looking at the first part of the verse 25 first. And to him who is able to strengthen you all by my good news and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Paul calls it my good news. My gospel. He is not saying that it's, well, he doesn't mean that he possesses the gospel or that he is the author and the creator of the gospel. It's not his gospel in that sense. It's Jesus Christ's gospel. So he's not saying, you have your gospel, I have mine. You know, it is the gospel in which he possesses. It doesn't mean that he formulated a man-made gospel. There are a lot of man-made gospels today. It's not... I can't come up with this brilliant idea about a better way for a person to be saved and go to heaven. Now, people think that they can come up with a better way, and so they will present... You know, there's a lot of folks who believe that a person's works, the good things they do, if they do enough good works, that'll propel them into heaven. And you know what? That sounds kind of good. I mean, on the surface, if I just dedicated my life to doing good stuff, God's going to have to let me in. And that is a man-made gospel. It's actually not good news at all. Because, Dan, if I ask you, have you done enough to get to heaven? Would you know? No. You wouldn't. And I wouldn't know either. I don't know where that line is. So it's, and that's bad. But I can ask them both that they're going, if they are going to heaven, I know what their answer would be. Yes. And how, why? Is it because they're so good people? Well, yeah. Not really. Not compared to God, maybe to everybody else, but not compared to God. You see, because of man-made gospels, such as work salvation, baptism salvation, there's a lot of people who've never really truly put their trust in Jesus Christ. You see, what he's talking about here is that he's just simply a preacher of God's gospel. And God uses the gospel, which he and other preachers proclaim, to strengthen believers. The gospel, every time as a believer that you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the real gospel of Jesus Christ, for by grace are you saved, not of works. Every time you hear that, it should strengthen your faith. Over the years, I've heard people, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, why don't you preach more doctrine? Why are you preaching salvation to a group of believers who've been saved for years? You don't want to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ? It strengthens you. It reminds you. It increases your faith every time. And besides, there may be someone here today that has never truly accepted Christ, and they're under conviction and they hear that gospel message truly for the first time. I don't know. But the gospel message. Can I spend just a moment, in case you don't know what the good news is? The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and in the form of a baby, to do something no man could do, to appease God the Father, to make right. He was fully God and he was fully man, and he was going to go to the cross of Calvary without sin, to keep the law that no other man could do. And boy, did they try. And so he went to the cross of Calvary. He sacrificed himself. No man killed him, but he laid up his life for us. He went to the cross of Calvary and died in our sins. He took the sins of the world upon him and made that pay. Romans 3:28. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then later on in Romans 5. For all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. That's the price that we have for sin. It is eternal separation from God. And Jesus Christ went to the cross, took our sins, paid the debt in the past, present, and future for all of us. And the sins were so great that God turned his back upon his own son for the first time ever. And that's when Jesus cried, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, that's not much of a gospel. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, showing us that we have victory over death, or he has victory over death, and he can share in that victory. And right now, he sits right by, on the right hand side of the Father. That's good news, guys. Because that means that you and me can call upon the name of the Lord. Another Romans 9:10. We can call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. We can trust and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in Him, and we shall be saved. And what does the saved mean? Saved means that we, when we pass from this life, we will be in His presence. On that middle cross, that thief on his right asked, "What must I?" You know, he goes, "Remember me when you get in my kingdom." And he turned and looked at the thief on the right-hand side and he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." It's not a long, drawn-out process. It's not a series of good works. It is simply a recognition about Jesus Christ is the Messiah God. That is the good news. And it's so simple that everyone can come and recognize Him and be saved. Everyone. No matter your class, your race, your goodness or your badness, everyone can be saved. We are established. We are strengthened by the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of verse, it says, "We are, and to him who is..." Go to the next one. I'm sorry, I didn't. It says, "And to him who is able to strengthen you by my good news and the preaching of Jesus Christ." Believers are established and made strong by the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, I know what it's like to be where you're at today. I spent the first 30 years of my life listening to preaching before I got on the other 33, before I got on the other side of it. I know that sometimes it's like the old teacher in the Peanuts. Wah, 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 and that's all you hear. I know it's like that. I know that sometimes my voice, the preaching voice drones on or goes so long that your eyelids start going like this. Don't deny it. You know who you are. Because it was me for... Yeah. I'm permanently injured on my side where she'd go. I got it. So why do we do it? Why do y'all come every Sunday to hear me drone on? It's a good question. You're saved. You don't need to hear the gospel. I mean, you already accepted it. Honestly, I'm not up here spouting a whole lot of new ideas. They're all old ideas, maybe presented in a little different form. And for kids, oh my goodness. For teenagers, when I was a teenager, I didn't hear a word. So why do we do it? Why is it necessary for me to stand before you each week and present a gospel of Jesus Christ or a message from His Word? Believers are established and made strong by the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, the preaching of Jesus Christ can mean either the message preached by Jesus Christ Himself or the message about Jesus Christ, which is preached by others. The message of salvation preached by Christ and by His followers are the same message. As long as I'm standing before you and I'm preaching God's Word and not my own take on God's Word, then it's worth it. It'll strengthen you. So with all the dangers that we're facing the Roman church and every church, Paul fittingly concludes by commending them to Him who is able to strengthen them. He's saying, you need to be strengthened. Continue preaching. Continue preaching God's Word. And Paul also knows that this will be done according to His gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 25 and 26, the last part of 25, I believe. Yeah. Nope. Yes, that's it. "By a revelation of a mystery in eternal times, while having been kept secret and continues to be kept secret. And now, while having been made visible, and so through prophetic scriptures, according to a command of the eternal God to obedience of faith, while having been made known to all the nations. That didn't make a bit of sense to you, did it? When I first read it, it didn't either, but we're going to make some sense out of it. Believers are established, made strong by God's revelation of the mystery of the gospel. There's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. Let's talk about the mystery. Paul talks about it a lot, mysteries of this and the mystery of that. But most of the time, the mysteries are talking about, well, understand something. The mystery of the gospel has been made a secret since the world began. Now, the word mystery here does not mean something obscure and something difficult to understand, nor something that has to be searched out or solved by men. It just simply means that there is some truth that could not be discovered by human reason. There is some truth out there that was not previously known. There was some truth that had to be revealed by God if it was ever be known. Are there things that we cannot know? I want you to understand where we rank in the whole universe that God created. Very, very small. Our knowledge, as vast as we might think it is very, very limited. It does not change the fact that there are things that we do not know yet. There was a point in time, and no, I'm not a flat earther, but there was a point in time when people actually thought that you could walk to the edge of the world and fall off. They believed it, guys. And you know why? They had no reason to doubt it. But everyone in here had better know that the earth is round. And if you don't, let's talk afterwards, okay? The Bible declares the earth is round, okay? So, the point is, you don't know until you know. Until you're told. There are some things that we will never know. We could never find out on our own unless God revealed it. Salvation is one of those things. It is a mystery. Notice it says, having been kept secret and continues to be kept secret. And remember what that means. That means it's an action that continues even to this present writing. What that means is there are people who still haven't got the mystery. People who still hasn't been revealed to them yet about how they too can be saved. Not because God doesn't want to show them, it's because they don't want to be shown. The gospel could never have been known by man. The gospel is not a creation of man's mind. It's not a creation of his rationalization or his concepts, his thoughts, his ideas about how man can be reconciled to God. Guys, there is something within every single human being that recognizes that there's something more to this life than just living and dying. People ask me, well, why is there so many religions? I said, because there's so many people looking for that something. There's so many people looking for that mystery. And they're looking in all the wrong places. But they're looking. And God is willing to reveal the mystery to them. Something they could not possibly make up. Something they could not possibly know about how to become acceptable to God. No man in this physical world could ever penetrate the spiritual world, no matter what some have claimed. Jesus said this. The spiritual world and the message of the spiritual world have always been a mystery. And they would have remained a mystery if God had not acted and revealed the spiritual world and dimension to man. We'd still be guessing. But God, through His Word, has opened it up for us today. Something we couldn't know on our own. Because Lord knows that we people are trying to find out what this is all about. And God opens up the mystery and says, here's what it's all about. The mystery of the gospel is now revealed by the commandment of God in the prophetic scriptures. God wants the world to know the gospel. Therefore, He has commanded that it be revealed and proclaimed to the world. I want you to notice something, though, that it's revealed by the prophetic scriptures. And this is really, really important, for it tells us exactly where we're to find out about God and His message. I can't make something up or change something just because I believe it's a better way. I have to go by how God has revealed it to us and not make modifications on what God says. And too often, we try to make those modifications, those changes. There were a lot of people who did. We do not discover God by natural reasoning. God reveals Himself to us. And thank God He does. So Paul means this as the whole plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. Though God announced much of the plan previously through prophecy, but its final outworking isn't revealed until revealed by God, except through Jesus Christ. At that point in time, all the pieces of the puzzle were put together. Knowing Jesus was the Messiah, knowing what He did at the cross of Calvary, and that He was raised 3 days later, and by the way, waiting to come back again. Now that the mystery has been revealed through the preaching of the gospel, God calls all nations to obedience to the faith. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There are two questions that desperately need to be studied by everyone. The first is, since God has revealed how men are to be acceptable to Him, why do men continue to create their own ideas about how to reach God? Why do men continue to think they'll be acceptable to God if they just do enough good to pacify God? Why do most men continue to think that God will never reject them, that they're not evil enough for Him to reject them? That happens all the time. It's called justification. You justify your actions and say, well, He'll forgive me for that. He'll let me in. That's not the case. You tell one little white lie, it's called a sin. That sin condemns you to hell, a separation from God Himself. And if you've done that any time during your life, it's too late. For the wages of sin is death. But in your mind, you say, He'll make that exception for me. Don't you think that if He allowed Himself to do that, He would? He made the exception. He sent His only begotten Son so that we'd have the hope of getting rid of that sin that keeps us from entering into His kingdom. And since God is revealed in the gospel, in the prophetic scriptures, why do men not rush to the scriptures to find the truth? I am seeing a world that is rushing to all sorts of different things in order to try to find truth. But not in the scriptures. I'm seeing Christians turning away from reading and studying the scriptures, the Almighty scriptures, and thinking that they don't need to study them because they already know what God wants. You're wrong. You're just simply wrong. So why do men not search out the Scriptures daily to find out what God has revealed? If I said, in this book, I have a book here, and I didn't tell somebody that it was the Bible. I've got a book, and if you read that book, it could lead you to living forever. Do you know how that'd be a bestseller? It would be the widest read book in the world. Oh, by the way, it is. For that reason. The men and women are not reading their Bibles. It will strengthen you. It will establish you. And I pray that we all will get into God's Word and find the mysteries, the things that we didn't realize before that God wants us to do. So the mystery of the gospel is revealed for a purpose, to lead all nations to the obedience to the faith. Very simply, God wants from us what any person wants from others, love and trust, and what we want. We all want others to love us and care about us. He wants to trust us and have confidence, and that's what God wants for us to have for Him. That's why we're here. We have a message. We have to help people get rid of the mystery about God, His salvation. We have to boldly proclaim it. But in order to do that, we must believe it and trust it all on our own. Make us strong in it. To understand that's what's... Let me tell you what, there's a lot of things wrong with this world, politics and social things. There's a lot of things wrong. But let me tell you, you know what the world needs now? If you're thinking love, sweet love, then you're on the right track. You know what the world needs more now? It needs to know about God's plan for them. It needs to know about the glorious gospel. This whole book of Romans, this letter that was written by Tertullus into his hand, this whole book was a testament to God's glorious salvation. He spent 3 chapters talking up to the Jews, telling them, no. It is not about works. It is about God's grace and mercy and love. Over and over talking about the greatness of His salvation. And this glorious message. You remember? He spent 2 or 3 chapters doing nothing but reminding them that they were sinners. All because he wanted to make sure they knew how important the gospel truly was. Let's say we have the gospel in our hands. Mine. I got it. It's not good enough. Someone made a sacrifice in order for you to hear the gospel yourself so that you can accept it. Now it's our turn to turn and to tell others about Jesus and what He did at the cross. How He rose from the grave. And about how He's coming again to get those who are His. Gospel is what this book is about. I've been struggling all throughout it. What is it about? You know, there's got to be a continuous thing. No, it's all about the gospel. And he makes mention of that here. Verse 27. The end of the book. That's what I called it. And this is the final amen. There are no more verses for me to translate in this book. And for some things I'm very happy about, I guess. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory to the ages. Amen. In this conclusion, Paul reflects on the wisdom of God's plan and the gospel. And the fact that such wisdom is beyond man's comprehension. God had a plan that no man could come up with. But the wisdom and the glory of the plan here is evident. We couldn't have put something together like that. God did for us. And so if there was anything that the book of Romans explains from beginning to end, it's the greatness and the glory of this plan of God that Paul preached as a gospel, as good news. Notice it's not bad news. I could tell it, you know, if you don't know Christ, you're all going to hell. And that's been preached. And it's not necessarily wrong. But that's bad news. Maybe you have to give them bad news before you can give them the good news. I don't know. But the good news is that you don't have to be lost and separated from God. That's the good news. That's the glorious gospel. It's entirely fitting that Paul finishes this letter praising the God of such a gospel. He loved that message, as should we. The good news Paul preached presented the God who chose to glorify himself through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and who will glorify himself that way forever. Amen. Amen. I want you to imagine. And remember how long it's taken us to go through this book. About a year and a half minus COVID. What if we received this letter directed to the church at Olive Hill? In essence, that's exactly what we've done. We have read a letter to our church from the Apostle Paul. It's a sobering, isn't it? When you think about it that way, it's sobering. Paul is writing to us today. Even today, this message applies to us. And then we come and we finish this letter with the final amen, and we go, okay. What does this mean to us right now? What is the message that Paul is trying to bring for us? Well, I don't know about y'all, but there were some parts of Romans that hit me hard. It applied to me. Maybe some of it applied to you. Something that Paul said or wrote that all of a sudden you realize that you needed to be better. You needed to do better. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's your study. Or maybe you might have a burden that you need to tell somebody about Jesus. Careful. When you start praying to God to send somebody your way, so if you want to lead somebody to the Lord, He'll do it. Trust me. He will do it. So, the book of Romans. They got the book, they got the letter, and they read it to the congregation. And then they got to the end. I wonder how they reacted to Paul. I don't know. I wonder how we're going to react to it. This morning, as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know how you're going to react to the message of the book of Romans. All I know is that there's one particular message that we have to continue to preach. We have to continue to know. We have to continue to spread throughout the world. And that is the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and His everlasting salvation. I can't go through this without saying this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel message. Can you repeat that? Do you know that? Is that something you can share with somebody? I hope you can. Pray that God will send somebody in your life that you can share that message with. Because everything else that we do is kind of
see, maybe God is dealing with your heart for salvation. Maybe you've heard the message today. Maybe you've heard it preached thousands of times, but maybe you actually had ears that heard. And a mystery unveiled. And you need to come to Him as Savior. Do that today. Don't delay. While God is calling you, would you come? So I have this.
Number 513. 513.